Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to thank our priests for a beautiful ceremony this morning. Lovely. Thank you very much. They've come all the way from Toronto, and we're about to leave for Toronto. So our talk this morning is for Toronto. So this is a short talk designed for the Sibbethundan Nilayam, Toronto, a group of devotees of Yoga Swami, for Friday night. It's designed to be translated, so we already have the translation, which is good. So it's mainly some stories, which makes it very interesting. As most of you know, about 150 years ago, a book called Saiva Vinavidai was written by Arumuga Navalar of Jaffna, Sri Lanka. It is written for children and presents the important teachings of Saivism in the form of questions and answers. If that's what Vinavidai means, questions and answers. The first two questions and answers are particularly important. First question, who is the Lord of the world? Answer, Shiva Peruman. That's a good answer, right? You know it's Saivism when you're in there. Second question, what is Shiva Peruman's nature? Eternal, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. So four qualities for God. It is Shiva's fourth quality of being omnipotent, being all-powerful, that relates to a story about Sadguru Yogaswami from one of his close devotees. The story goes like this. One day I traveled to Jaffna and went to the ashram at Kulumbatarai to see Swami. Swami was seated amidst a few devotees. That day, even without my knowledge, I fell spontaneously at his feet and worshipped him. From that day onwards until he attained samadhi, whenever I went to see Swami, I worshipped him despite his saying these words, "It is not necessary to worship in front of people. And it is not necessary to fall on the ground. And it is sufficient if you worship mentally." But he was a Guru Bhakta, right? You couldn't stop him from prostrating. From that day, I could not be without falling prostrate and worshipping him. One day he called me by name and said, "What is the one thing God cannot do?" I heard this question and remained shocked. When it is said that God is all-powerful, which is how we started, right? God is all-powerful, omnipotent. Is there something he cannot do? Swami quietly said, "You need not answer now. You can give the reply when you come in 2 days' time." When I came home, that question kept resounding itself. I could think of nothing else. While I was musing over that question, the section I had studied in the Mahabharata came to my mind. When Krishna asked, "What can be done to prevent the war?" Sahadevan's reply was the section I recalled. Sahadevan's reply was, "If I bind you straight away, the war can be prevented." Then Krishna asked him, "How will you bind me?" And Sahadevan responded that he would bind him with a restraining rope of love. This seemed a satisfactory answer to Swami's question. I decided to tell Swami that when God is captured by the love of the devotee, he cannot free himself. Think that'll work? See what happens. 2 days later, when I went to see Swami, I gave this reply. When he heard my reply, Swami said, "How can that be? You can bind God by love only if love is different from him. You cannot separate God from love. God is love." He continued, "The one act God cannot do is to separate himself from us, even for a moment." By this device, Swami impressed on my heart that God does not separate from us even for a split second, and is always with us as the soul of our souls. Well, that's the full story. We've heard that before, that teaching. So this same teaching from Yogaswami is found in his published sayings in Words of Our Master, where he says, "There is one thing God cannot do. He cannot separate himself from the soul." Yoga Swami, of course, is impressing upon the mind the teaching that the essence of the soul is identical with God. That God is the soul of our soul, the life of our life. In the story, Yoga Swami could have simply made the statement to the devotee, God is always within us. However, instead he asked the question, what is the one thing God cannot do? And asked the man to think about it for 2 days. When the answer was finally given, that the one thing that God cannot do is separate himself from us, it made a much deeper impression on the devotee's mind than it would have if simply spoken as a statement in the first place. So don't forget, even though Shiva Paraman is all-powerful, omnipotent, he cannot separate himself from the soul. He is always dwelling within you. Let me share another Yoga Swami story which provides an interesting illustration of this principle of oneness. Once a devotee of Yoga Swami's had a bath, wore clean clothes, and was getting ready to see Swami. However, he was saddened by the thought that his heart was not as clean as his body and clothes. He couldn't control his mind and was descending further into sinful ways. His thoughts were so despicable that he could not even discuss it with his friends. He felt that even his parents would despise him if they knew. He was ashamed to go before Swami with such thoughts, but being an ardent devotee, he couldn't keep away either. So he decided he would prostrate himself before Swami and cry his heart out. On the way, he hoped Swami would not be in meditation, because if he was, then he would perceive his evil thoughts. As he entered the ashram, he found Swami happily conversing with his disciples. I have escaped, thought the devotee as he worshipped. Then Swami looked at him with a smile and said, I know everything from your head to your toes. I know all your thoughts, not only yours, but everybody's. I am in everybody. You do not know this because you think of yourself as being separate from others. Learn to consider yourself as the same as others and not separate. Then taking the camphor tray that was burning before him, he gave it to his devotee and said, take this light and considering everyone here to be Shiva, worship them. One final quote from Yoga Swami, which is a letter he wrote to a young man, Yogendra. To dear Yogendra, who is love itself, the following lines are sent. I am with you, and you are with me. There is no distance between us. I am you. You are I. What is there to fear? Look, I exist as you. Then, what must you do? You must love. Whom? Everyone. To speak more clearly, your very nature is love. Not only you, but all are pervaded by love. But there is no all, for you alone exist. All are you. In conclusion, remember the wisdom of Satguru Yoga Swami. Shiva is a unity of consciousness of love that pervades all. And in truth, you too are that unity of consciousness of love. Jiva is Shiva. Om Namah Shivaya. So it's a very simple story, but very, very powerful message. You know, and it's not a message you run across everywhere. You run across it all the time in Gurudeva's teachings, of course, Yoga Swami's teachings. But the idea of being put so simply is a very powerful idea. That at a deeper or superconscious level, we can identify with the Satchidananda, Parashakti, the unity of consciousness. And when we identify with it, then there's only one. There's no separate. There isn't a second person. There's only one person, which is everyone. And you are that one person. It's not just God is the one person, but you are the one person. And furthermore, that one person's nature is love, meaning there's a feeling of divine love for everything. Guys, your divine love is you love everything, you love everyone. It's not an emotional attraction where you love one thing, one person, two people, five people, and not everyone else. It's divine love because it's a higher state of consciousness, which means that you love everyone because you are everyone. So, as Gurudeva says, it's he uses it as the rationale for ahimsa, second rationale. First rationale is the law of karma, which is very compelling, that if you injure someone else, it's going to come back to you in the future. So obviously, you don't want to create grief for yourself in the future, so it's not reasonable to hurt somebody else in the present, knowing that you'll be hurt in the same way in the future. That's a good logical statement, which convinces our ordinary consciousness it's not a wise thing to do. But Gurudeva doesn't stop there, he goes deeper. He says, and from a deeper state of consciousness, you feel like you're hurting yourself, because you don't have the concept of a second person. So if you were to hurt someone else, you would have the feeling of hurting yourself at that time. So that's an even more compelling rationale for the idea of ahimsa. It doesn't make any sense at all to hurt yourself. So it's a wonderful teaching, and again, we were talking about this last phase, the idea of, if you're going to describe Shiva in one word, we don't want to say Shiva is a god of destruction, right? That's the wrong answer. Shiva is the god of love, right? Shiva is the god of love. Ande Shiva. So that's our one word description of Shiva. Shiva is love. Shiva is all pervasive love. You are Shiva. You are all pervasive love. Very simple concept. Om Namah Shivaya.